When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes SportsGrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination, consume everything all across the grid. He is on the right side. I am Ben Stevens. We are live in person in studio together for a special rendition of TEL on this Thursday. A recap of a doubleheader around the association and the NBA postseason on a Wednesday evening with a similar theme, DRS inside TD Garden. Another Celtics collapse out of the reigning champs in Beantown. We'll break down that game in game number two as the Knicks have a 2-0 series advantage heading to the other Garden on Saturday afternoon inside Madison Square Garden. And DRS, some history in the NBA playoffs. Oklahoma City, a high-scoring affair last night to even up their set against the Denver Nuggets. We'll go all around Wednesday in Major League Baseball. We'll talk some big NFL news, continued fallout for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys after the George Pickens deal. All of that and plenty more over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
The team that couldn't be beat, the Boston Celtics, here seemingly getting beat on a night-to-night basis. Who would have thought? They're sweeping two games, which we'll talk about, in the TD Bank Garden before they even get back to Madison Square Garden. I'm excited to talk about a lot of things on this show, including the Philadelphia Phillies, Ben, going down to Tampa, 7-0 last night, grooving 8-2 in the last 10 games. But we have so much action to get after, and again, NFL topics will certainly come into it, but my goodness, what we're watching in the NBA, how exciting is that right now?
These NBA playoff games so far, really throughout the entirety of the postseason to begin, but certainly in round number two, have been complete theater. In fact, in our first six games of round number two, the road team, as at least a 5.5-point underdog, had won outright. Oklahoma City had some other ideas in our nightcap of two on a Wednesday evening. But DRS, let's start immediately in Beantown, inside TD Garden, the reigning champs, the Boston Celtics. After blowing a 20-point third-quarter lead against the New York Knicks and losing game number one in OT to their bitter rivals in the Knickerbockers, did something very, very similar in game number two last night. The Knicks win outright once again, 91-90, as a 10.5-point underdog. And once again, DRS trailing by as many as 20 points late in the third quarter. Even later in the third this time. In game one, they were down by 20 with fewer than 5.5 minutes remaining in that third stanza. Here, fewer than 2.5 minutes remaining in the third. And unlike game number one, when the Knicks were trailing by just single digits for a good majority of the fourth quarter, the Knicks were down by 16 with 8.5 minutes remaining in regulation last night to the Celtics. An utter collapse out of Boston, and the Knicks went outright as a hefty underdog once again. What is the issue for the C's?
I don't think they even know. And apparently the best defense against the Celtics has been, hey, let them shoot every wide open three-point shot. Don't go anywhere near them, and they won't make any of those shots. It's pretty incredible, as it turns out. You take a look at the box score again. Live by the three, die by the three. 12 of 15 from the free throw line, but the three-point line, 10 of 40. This is very un-Celtics-like. You are supposed to shoot better at home than you are on the road with back-to-back disastrous performances. But the worst part about this, Ben, too, is we look at the game cast and say, well, Well, how did it play out this way? It was like the Celtics got off to a bad start and they're down 20 at the break and have to claw their way back. They're up consistently 20 points and blowing leads at home. It's almost like no matter what lead you have, you shouldn't be comfortable if you are the Celtics. And yet games one and game two, comfortable with the lead, blowing the lead in the fourth quarter.
And DRS, you just talked about it right there. What is the game plan for the Knicks defensively? Let Boston hoist from beyond the arc continuously and not make many of them. Also for their game plan for Tom Thibodeau and New York, trail by 20 points late in the third quarter and then start playing good basketball where it seems as though the Celtics are getting comfortable and then resorting back to just hoisting a ton of threes. We mentioned it in game number one, 15 of 60 from deep for Boston. 45 missed three-point attempts, an NBA playoff record for a single game. Last night, 25% from three once again. They didn't take 60. In fact, 20 fewer, only 40, but they made only 10. Donnie, in game number one, 62% of the field goal tries for Boston came from three-point range. Last night, just about 42.5%. So they made, it seemed, at least in the opening three quarters, a more concerted effort to get inside the paint, to get some looks at the cup. But then when things got a little bit tight and that lead quickly evaporated in the fourth and final quarter, it was Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, your two superstars, struggling mightily once again. In fact, it was Tatum who had a look at the win for Boston in the final 10.5 seconds of regulation, went up, was defended, did not even get a shot attempt up at the hoop, tried to kind of pass it. I said on Tuesday when we were here in studio in person together, he would never be top five for me because he balks at the moment, at the opportunity of creating greatness in those clutch instances. Saw that again last night in game number two.
Yeah, dribble around the basketball and then certainly dribbles himself into a corner on a double team and tries to pass out of it, gets intercepted. The ball gets lobbed back into the front court. And there you go. The Celtics with a loss again in game number two. It's interesting to post because we're not talking about like, oh man, the Knicks are playing such good basketball where there's nothing the Celtics can do. They're unbelievable collapses that we're having back here. And you take a look at Mikal Bridges, 6 of 18 from the floor, unacceptable. Jalen Brunson, 6 of 19 from the floor, and they absolutely won that game. Yeah. It's incredible. 2-0 series lead. And if we're just playing serve, you're talking about the two top seeds here in the East, the Cavaliers and also the Celtics, lost both games on their home court. Crazy. There's a chance that now neither one of them are making the Eastern Conference Final.
DRS, they're making us look a little bit foolish. Yep. We have often said the Eastern Conference playoffs should really resemble the WCC tournament and just put Boston and Cleveland in the end and we'll get there somehow, some way. It's what the odds makers have expected for the past 4 months. It's what the odds makers expected entering this series as well. Again, when you look at the fourth quarter shooting for the Celtics, one thing that stands out, DRS, about the historic start to this second round, all six road teams all looked as an underdog winning outright. First time in NBA playoff history, we saw all of our 4 second round series begin with the road team stealing game number one away from home. We saw not 4 consecutive road wins, but 5 and even 6 last night inside TD Garden. And it's not as though the Knicks were battling with Boston from the very, very start. First lead for New York did not come until about 4 minutes remaining in regulation in that fourth and final quarter. And if you were going to trust any team to hold on to a lead, even if 20 points quickly becomes 8, 4, 6, whatever it is, it would be the reigning NBA champions who had proven that pedigree a season ago. And yet it seems as though the Celtics can't find their foot from their elbow when it comes to these disastrous late game scenarios.
Spending energy building the lead and saying we don't have enough energy left in the tank. It's just horrible basketball. Like from the 8.5 minute mark down the stretch, they couldn't make a basket at home. One or two of those wide open 3-point shots goes down. The game is over. It's 1-1. You're heading back to New York City and you're feeling better about yourself. But the simple fact that these guys haven't been able to close the door as the best team in the NBA, which most people think at home at this point, is really baffling. And again, just holding some turf. It was just crazy that the Knicks would go home and win one game at the Garden and then go back as a 3-1 series lead at this point. I don't want to say Boston is cooked because we're going to review the series prices and how they look at this point, and they're still a great basketball team. And understand this. It wasn't if the Knicks just went into Boston and took their lunch both games, winning wire to wire. These were epic collapses at the end where the Celtics are playing terrible but still losing the game by a point or two.
You could make an argument, and I don't think it is flawed, that Boston is clearly the better team as they have built up a 20-point advantage, so maybe the odds makers have been onto something with the Celtics at least a 9-point favorite in each of our opening two games, nearly a minus 900 favorite to win this series outright before game number one began. And Donnie, that's also been a component of this. The Celtics had the Knicks number throughout the regular season in that East Coast rivalry, a perfect 4-0 straight up, 3-1 against the spread. They were supposed to hammer New York. They have for about most of the games, but not down the stretch. What matters most on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another Boston beatdown late in regulation in the third and fourth quarters in game number two of their second round set against the New York Knicks. DRS, as we were watching the game last night, something stood out to me as we saw in the opening game of this second round. The Celtics just got far too comfortable and resorted back to the disastrous three-point shooting, where they're passing up good looks inside to take the three when they're up by 18 points. And if they just hold on to the ball, they'll waste time, which would help them in winning a basketball game. You almost wonder if the Celtics beat the Knicks so badly throughout the regular season, absolutely stomping on them in their first three games and even winning shorthanded in the fourth and final game in early April in the regular season, that they get up by 20, they look at their opponent, they feel as though the Knicks are inferior and take their foot off the gas. Again, not what you would expect out of a team that just won their 18th NBA championship a season ago, and yet here we find ourselves with the Knicks up two games to none in this second round series.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because you're trying to formulate the path of what's going on with the Boston Celtics. It's really simple. Like, yes, they're blowing big leads, but it's not as if that the New York Knicks are trading threes for twos left and right. Like, well, Donnie, the Knicks went 10 of 11 from three-point range in the fourth quarter. There's nothing you can do about that. It's like role reversal. It's like the Celtics going 1 of 11 from three-point range in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks just have to play average basketball and can certainly cut into those leads. So when I look at the game and say, well, what has to change for the Celtics? Just be average. They shot 36% as a team from the floor on their home court. And again, Ben, lost by 1 point. You're supposed to shoot 36% and get beat by 25 points on your home court. So there is hope for the Boston Celtics where if they can just get back to level, they'll win games. They are so far below the board right now, it's almost embarrassing to watch them play offense because this isn't what they do. How many times have we seen the highlights? Like, man, did you see the Celtics splash 26 three-point shots, 21 three-point shots? You're not going to win if you shoot 40 three-point shots and make 10 of those. It's just not going to happen.
And the volume's still there for Boston in comparison to a lot of NBA teams. 43 point attempts, 30 misses, 75 missed triples in their opening two games. Of course, that NBA playoff history in the first two games through a playoff series. But Donnie, you saw that concerted effort in maybe the first 30 to 34 minutes last night to get into the paint, to attack the cup against the New York Knicks. But then when things started to get haywire, it was that weird Boston queasiness where they decided to just go back and shoot threes. And once again, Jason Tatum, another very poor night for a guy that many consider to be a top five player in the association. 13 points, 5 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 5 from deep, only making one field goal in that fourth and final quarter. Jaylen Brown, a goose egg in the fourth and final quarter, finishing with 20 points after scoring 17 in the opening half. So let's talk about this series. It's clear that for a good majority of the game, the odds makers have the line correct. Boston should be heavily favored. They have opened up a 20-point advantage late in the third quarter in each of these first two games. Boston nearly a minus 900 favorite to win this series outright. They'll head to Madison Square Garden, DRS, as an ever-so-slight pick'em underdog entering game number three. Game number three inside MSG, Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time tip. The Celtics absolutely need to win that game. Must win, can't lose. It does not matter. How does Boston do that?
Oh, by the way, I love that start time. 3 o'clock on a Saturday. That place is going to be rocking in New York City. Now, how do they do that? It's a kitchen sink game for Boston, which you don't, if you're Joe Mazzulla, like you're not sitting up and saying, I just don't have the answers. The answers are, hey, guys, make your wide open jump shots. Yeah. We'll win these basketball games. It might be the easiest coaching adjustment you're ever going to have. And it's quite true. You don't have to say, well, how do we handle the press? Or, boy, how can we stop their three-point shooting being the Knicks? Like, the Knicks went on the road, and what did they shoot? 29% from three-point range and one in the TD Bank Garden. That's all. Joe Mazzulla sits them down, calm down. We have a championship pedigree. We're the reigning world champions. We don't need to change any structure. When the ball comes to you, knock down that open three-point shot. Trust me, we'll win that basketball game. That's simple.
It is a very difficult task for the Celtics. They need to win four of their next five, and yet they will probably be favored in every single game the remainder of this series. As you saw there in the series odds, Boston an ever so slight underdog. The C's now getting a game and a half in the series spread. If we see seven games, Boston cashes that ticket, and we would expect the Celtics to at least 4-7. It is the most likely, according to the odds makers, at a plus 138 number. The Celtics minus 900 outright to win this series, entering game number one, minus 370 to win this series outright, entering game number two. The Celtics on their championship run last year, DRS, 16-3 straight up. Already as many losses in this postseason run as they had the entirety of their four rounds, claiming championship banner number 18 a season ago. I want to ask you the question like this. Do you give more credit to the Knicks or discredit to the Celtics in how these first two games have played out? Is it tremendous resilience out of New York, or is it the Celtics in an utter collapse?
It is a bit of both, so it's not really a cop-out at this point, because you are down 20 points, and you're coming back. But again, you're not coming back because you're playing incredible basketball. You're coming back because you're just average, and the other team is horrendous at that point. So you do share in that, but to go into Boston and win the first two games, when the struggle for the Knicks all season long was, well, we beat the average teams, we just can't touch the good teams, and now you're beating the good teams here. And again, the good teams being the Boston Celtics, not playing great basketball, but you could have easily lost game number one. You could have easily lost game number two if you're the Knicks. That's a big advantage, because now you go home and just have to hold serve, and you'll probably win the series. So for me, it's a lot more to do with Boston, but I can't just take away credit from the Knicks and be like, oh, they handed it to them. No, they took it. They were down 20. They took those games.
We talked about experience, right, where you would think the Celtics with the championship experience would be able to calm themselves and at least hold on to a little bit of a margin to escape in game one and game two, even if things became interesting down the stretch. The Knicks now have that experience of understanding, hey, we're playing in close games, basically a close game in all six in the opening round against the Pistons, and now experience of saying, hey, guys, even if it's late in the third quarter and we're down by 20, we can find our way back. The main difference, I thought, from game one to game two, again, the Knicks were only down by 9 at the start of the fourth quarter in game one, a single-digit margin the entirety of those 12 minutes and in overtime. The Knicks were still trailing by double digits entering the fourth last night. Boston even up the lead back to 16, and the Knicks still found their way back with about 8 minutes and 30 seconds remaining in regulation. And for the first time in a very long time, maybe dating back to December, the Celtics are no longer a minus money favorite to win the Eastern Conference crown. Once again, DRS, it's plus 160.
And also, you know, my favorite part of this is going to be in the offseason, if it ends for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can't play together, Ben.
Despite a championship. Yeah. It is crazy. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So after last night's stunner in Boston and yet another Celtics collapse, I think a lot of people around this second round of the NBA postseason were asking, can a home team finally win? Can somebody take advantage of that home court advantage and pick up a W so far here in the conference semifinals? Oklahoma City said, all right, we got you. And OKC did so right from the very start, DRS, and in historic ways. 87 points in the opening half for the Thunder, the most points ever scored in an opening half in NBA playoff history. And OKC never looked back, hammering the Denver Nuggets to even up this second round set at a game all 149-106. A 43-point win for Oklahoma City at home. The Thunder easily covering as a 10-point home favorite. A total of 230. Sky's over. That's what's going to happen when one team flirts with scoring 150 points.
Yeah, and the one thing you can never tell is Oklahoma City, look at their box score, I'm like, yeah, she had 34 points. Not allowed to get 35, not allowed to score less than 27 points. So he chimed in, and look at the efficiency, though. 30 minutes played, 11 of 13 from field goal range, or from field goals, and then 11 for 11 from the free throw line, which was really impressive. Did you see the plus money number or plus minus on him? 51 in that ball game for SGA. That's incredible. And sometimes you can just look at the box score from the Denver Nuggets also, Ben, and say, what did Jokic do? Didn't even get a double-double? Yeah, probably didn't end really kindly there for the Nuggets, and it didn't. That was one of those games where the expectations were, the question was asked yesterday and posed, Ben,
was who's more likely to get blown out tonight? Would it be the New York Knicks as the underdog because the Celtics have to win? Or would it be the Denver Nuggets because Oklahoma City has to win? We chose the New York Knicks as the chance to get blown out last night. And you see that final score, almost a 50-point drubbing for the Denver Nuggets. And this is one of those where the Nuggets had mission accomplished. You have home court advantage. But, boy, did you waste that good vibes where it was like, all right, we lost by 5 points in game number two. We're coming back home. You get smashed like that. Oklahoma City's got that feeling. We're the team in command now. Doesn't matter that you have home court advantage. We're here to seize the day. They were phenomenal yesterday. I can't blame Denver because also, Ben, when you look at game number seven, sometimes you run on fumes in game number one, and the gas tank is empty in game number two. That's what it looked like happened to the Denver Nuggets.
It certainly did, DRS, and from the very, very start. A credit to you guys. We should have had blowouts in both of the games last night. With that home team responding from a collapse in game number one, it was only Oklahoma City who pulled that off a night ago. So OKC now evens up this series at a game apiece. And one thing that really stood out to me, DRS, I'm sure you guys discussed it yesterday on TEL, 71% of the spread bets on FanDuel for the opening game of the night inside TD Garden backing the Knicks. Although the line had worked in favor of Boston, 9 points in game one to 10.5 entering game two, the public still saying, well, the Knicks just won outright coming back in historic fashion. How can New York not cover as a double-digit dog? For a good majority of the game, it seemed as though the public was going to get fooled. At the end, they were proven correct. 82% of the spread bets on the FanDuel Sportsbook entering game number two last night in Oklahoma City, backing the Nuggets with that championship pedigree, winning outright as a 10.5-point underdog in game number one, coming back from down 14 with fewer than 6.5 minutes remaining in that fourth quarter. This time, the public got what was coming to them. Oklahoma City winning by 43 and easily covering. And one thing that really stuck out to me, DRS, about the Thunder as well. Just 2-3 ATS entering last night in their first five games here in this playoff run. They had some trouble with Memphis, of course, in those final two games in Grind City in the opening round, losing outright in game number one for a team that was the best cover team in the association all season long. And as a favorite, best favorite in the NBA, booked as a favorite more than 15 times throughout the regular season with a cover percentage north of 65%. So to see a double-digit spread is something the Thunder are accustomed to. Last night, they made good on that odds.
They made good on everything last night, too. 56% from the floor as a team, which is something the Celtics can only dream about right now, shooting at home. 44% from three-point range. And you see the free throw shooting? You want to put teams away? How about they went to the line 36 times, made 33 of those good for 92% as a team? They did everything right, which included 9 turnovers, so keep that under 10. Everything was clicking for OKC. This was the team of the anticipation for the best team in the NBA showing up in the playoffs in round number two. You got the best of OKC.
And we always talked about the playoff pedigree. Yeah. Would it catch up to them? It almost seemed like it did with head coach Mark Daigneault at the end of game number one and some interesting decisions to foul, where a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter was quickly gone. Well, the Thunder found that response last night. For these this series so far, both games over, both games have seen at least 240 combined points. Denver has played 5 consecutive games to the over throughout this postseason, 3 straight overs for OKC. We'll talk more about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We'll talk more about where this series stands between the Thunder and the Nuggets up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid, the Oklahoma City Thunder make NBA postseason history last night, scoring 87 points in the first half, the most ever in the opening two quarters in an NBA playoff game. More history made as well, DRS, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Well on his way to winning the first MVP award of his career, but in a matchup directly against the guy that had won 3 of the last 4 MVP hardwares, we thought this could get a little bit interesting. Of course, that being a regular season award. SGA really good in game number one, but not quite to how well Nikola Jokic played with a 42-point, 22-rebound performance. Last night, it was the Joker fouling out after only 17 points late in the third quarter, and it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander notching some individual history as well. You mentioned the plus-minus earlier, a plus 51 for SGA, an NBA playoff record since they began tracking these numbers. 34 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night over his points prop of 32.5. We joke about it all the time. Never less than like 28, but never exactly more than 36. He falls exactly into that sweet spot with a very efficient night in which Oklahoma City was dominant offensively.
Every single player that played last night for OKC scored at least 1 point, which is pretty impressive, which include Isaiah Joe, 14 points off the bench, and Aaron Wiggins, double digits off the bench, and then also A.J. Mitchell. The impressive part about this was, is this is the anticipation that we have for OKC and how good they can actually be. And also understand this, heading into the playoffs as the top seed, the people coming in, basically talking heads, is it going to be the same in the regular season that is the postseason? It's completely different. We know how that turns out. They did very well in round number one. Even though Ja Morant got injured, game number three didn't set out game number four. They were competitive games on the road. But the questions start to come up again after game number one. Uh-oh. Now you're facing a team that's won a championship before. What's actually going to take place? How are they going to handle that pressure? That was such a resounding victory now. It almost feels like they're back up 2-0 heading out. Mm-hmm. And if you told me right now, well, okay, Denver's just going to win one of those two games on the home court. This is absolutely an OKC series, which is different from the other series that we're looking at now. That was an unbelievable performance, which is exactly what we thought this team should be entering into the playoffs. It's almost comforting that it's only 1-1, but boy, did you see the way they beat the brakes off the Nuggets.
And again, the Thunder last year in the Western Conference playoffs, the number one overall seed, they lost in six games to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. They had taken those playoff lumps. Would they learn from the experience, or would they start to creep up once again? Certainly seemed in the opening game of this set, DRS, against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, Denver was looking the part of the championship team from two seasons ago. And maybe we were concerned by OKC, not last night, a resounding victory. David Adelman, the interim head coach for Denver, kind of expressed what you just hit on right there in his post-game presser as well. Hey, we're happy to have the split. If you would have told us that on paper, entering this series against the Western Conference's number one seed, we'll take that anytime. We can't just say, hey, we're flying back to Mile High, we're feeling good, earning a win out of those first two games in Oklahoma City. When you get beat down in the way they did by 43 points in the Thunder, making some NBA playoff history. Oklahoma City, nearly a minus 900 favorite, minus 880, I believe, was that closing line entering game number one as the series outright favorite. Still minus 335 entering game number two last night in a double-digit favorite at home. OKC earns a split. It's now minus 520 in favor of the Thunder, DRS, to win this series outright. And the number that stands out to me entering last night for OKC to win this series in both six and seven games was a shorter price than for Oklahoma City to pull off the gentleman sweep. You see it right there. For OKC now to win in a gentleman sweep in only five, shortest price, most likely outcome, plus 172.
Yeah, it shows how we're looking at these two teams and objectively saying who is better. It's OKC. Like, in what world would it be like, all right, well, OKC hasn't won a championship before. Denver might have the best player in the world. It's a 1-1 split, which means now Denver has home court advantage, minus 180. Minus 220, minus 250. No, it's a minus 520 price. And believe me, looking at that line, I'm saying to myself, well, I would never really want to lay a 520. But the value to me is not on the 4-1 price for the Nuggets. The value now shifts back to a minus 520. You might also look at that number from last night, Ben, and say to yourself, what happens if the game was a two-point game? That's not minus 520 this morning. That showed that game number one, right, we were rusty, you were ready. That won't happen again. And they beat them so resoundingly that now it feels like, again, it's still a 2-0 lead here for OKC heading back to Denver when it's only 1-1. But I don't look at the 4-1 price on the Nuggets and say, now's the time I want to jump in. And sometimes it's a little bit of a human element and also psychology. If that game, again, was a two-point game, ooh, 4-1 price, that's not too bad. They're going home. They can win two games against OKC and put the pressure. But that game was so one-sided here that 520 almost seems light.
Yeah, it really kind of does, DRS, based on what we expected out of the Thunder all the way around. We'll talk about this from a game-to-game perspective in just a second. But in terms of looking at this series, still the over-under for series total games stands at 5.5. The over has the hefty juice at minus 215, despite the fact that Oklahoma City winning in only five is the most likely outcome, a plus money number. How about the Thunder on the series spread laying 1.5? If OKC wins in six or even earlier, it's minus 152, a little bit more digestible than laying minus 520 to win this series outright. But the Nuggets do return home with home floor advantage now back in their way because they did take game number one on the road. Nikola Jokic will be rested as he heads back to altitude after that sprint. Donnie, we see it all the time. You carry momentum over, even in a game where you don't expect to carry that momentum. We saw it for the Warriors at the end of game one against Minnesota. Ooh, Stephen Curry is out. How do we perform in this spot? You just kind of go with what you know can work. Ooh, how will Denver respond with a quick turnaround after seven games in a grueling series against the Clippers? You ride that momentum. But when things start to settle, that's when things start to change. We'll see how Denver responds in game number three. In terms of the overall Western Conference odds, the Thunder back to a very strong favorite. Minus 180 on OKC to win the Western Conference crown. It's where things stood for Oklahoma City entering the second round.
And by the way, the Warriors dropping like a rock here, too, because the news coming out about Steph Curry, which we will get to, certainly devastating. And they have a lead in their series. But just getting back to Oklahoma City and Denver, I have enough respect here for Denver. They went on the road but did win one game, even though they got blown out in game number two. They're going to win one home game in this series. So if I'm from a betting perspective, just sitting here this morning on a Thursday, five games is plus 172, six games is plus 176, 205 is seven games. I think it's going sixer. I take the plus 176 because even though how bad they got beat last night, you have to understand again, playing on adrenaline, tank was empty, go home, playing in elevation in front of your crowd, they're a good enough basketball team where they can win a game against OKC or maybe get it to game number six and see what they can do. But I would say games three and games four, one of those will go. It'll go back to OKC in game five. OKC wins it and then wraps it up in six games on the road.
Completely agree. This is still Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, everybody on this team with an opportunity now back at home at altitude to just win a game outright against Oklahoma City. But what's so funny, DRS, we talk about this all the time, regular season in the NBA, 82 games, a very large sample size, but the intensity that we see in the postseason, completely different. But because you have 82 games, which the odds makers have formulated their power ratings and their algorithms, they're not just going to change it based on a few results here in the playoffs. Why do I bring that up? Because Oklahoma City is going to be a favorite in every single game in this series for however long it goes. They're a 4.5-point favorite against the Denver Nuggets in game number three. The Celtics are down 0-2. Now they head to Madison Square Garden. They're a 5-point favorite on Saturday in game number three. The Cavaliers are down 0-2 and a little bit injured and banged up at this moment in Cleveland for tomorrow night. Still a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Indianapolis. The odds makers are not going to shift their power ratings even based on what we are seeing with our very eyes here to start off this second round because of all the overwhelming data we have seen since November.
No, exactly. And the only thing that does change are devastating injuries that could knock your franchise player out for the remaining parts of the series where you would say, case in point, Minnesota and Golden State, that minus 205 price. Wait a second. It was less than that in game number one when we just still had home court advantage, but you didn't have a healthy Warriors, you had a healthy Warriors team, which you don't now. Those are the extenuating circumstances, but this is why it's handicapping and this is why it's so tough. You see one game play out a certain way and the next game completely different. Good luck. That's why there's a lot of tall buildings out there in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. So there are two teams, DRS, leading in their series, booked as a favorite. The Pacers up 2-0 against the Cavaliers. It's now a minus 198 outright number. In the Knicks, an ever so slight series outright favorite by 4 cents. Incredible. Minus 110, despite being up 2-0 and returning to Madison Square Garden. Injury update on Steph Curry next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is DRS. I am BSS. We are live in person in studio. Donnie, only one NBA playoff game on this Thursday night in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And of course, it will not feature Steph Curry. Late in the opening half of the opening game of the series against Minnesota, Stephen Curry, after an MRI on Wednesday, suffering a grade one left hamstring strain, and he will be out for at least 1 week. Even in the most optimistic timeline, that confirms that Steph Curry will miss games two, three, and four. The earliest he could potentially return game five, but probably not unless this series sees six or seven games. Dr. Donnie, you are always on it when it comes to a calf strain, a hamstring strain, a muscle strain that for the first time, weirdly, in Steph's NBA career, he is now suffering any sort of muscle strain. I ask you maybe a more pessimistic question than the actual update we have right there. Is Steph Curry out for the entirety of this series?
You can mask this injury, which means it's not devastating enough where you are going to lose your leg if you play. understand this. You're getting older in your career, which means you might not have too many chances to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or win another championship. So the problem that's going to lie is you're going to get down, let's just say, 2-1 or 3-1. My guys are out there with me. I got to give it a go. But understand this. You know what the worst thing that I heard was from this injury? Steph Curry going like, never had this before, because nobody understands it. If it's your first time, you feel a little bit of a pinch going like, just a cramp. Like, give it a day.
Yeah.
I'll get a massage. I'll take some Tylenol, and I'll be good to go for the next game. The minute that you hear hamstring injury, you automatically place it at 1 week. And if it's any type of strain, and you're a good player and you need to play a lot, you can set that at 2 weeks right now. I don't think he comes back to the series, but I can't make that official statement because there's one thing I do know. He won't be 100% for the series. He won't even be 75%. But given it the old Willis Reed out there, because my team needs me, yeah, he might make an appearance. But if you are a basketball player, here's the thing we talked about yesterday on the show. We saw Steve Kerr post-game press conference, and he's talking about, you know, in the tank, like, this was a win that they got, and he was deflated already because he knows what's on the horizon. My best player is probably not going to be available. This is going to be a really uphill climb. But also understanding the task at hand at this point, saying, you know, other guys now have to step up. But for Steph Curry himself, there's no way you can play offense. Okay, I can knock down a three-point shot. Do you know what they do on defense in the NBA? They will get you one-on-one for the next three quarters and break you down where they know you can't actually play defense on that hamstring. It's a tough strain that he's going to have. I don't think he plays again, but if he does, he's just toughing it out. 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 15 minutes, 1-for-3 from three-point range. Hey, guys, I was here for you. That's all I can do.
The series will at least, if Minnesota wins a game, see five of them in this best-of-seven set. Again, that's optimistically probably the earliest that Steph Curry can return. We are not doctors, although Donnie plays
on
television when it comes to calf and hamstring strains. But we do follow sports, and we have for a very long time, and you can start to read between the tea leaves of any sort of update you get. Contract negotiations, injury, so on and so forth. The thing that I am most pessimistic by, not Stephen Curry saying for the first time he's dealing with any sort of muscle strain in his NBA career, a very lengthy one at that, that he will have to be reevaluated after a week.
Correct.
It's not like, hey, he's out for a week, but then he'll be good to go, even to test it to see how he can be effective at 85-90% to return to game action. Reevaluate it then and see how his body responds to something that he has not experienced in his professional career. So now, what does it mean from the odds perspective? Minnesota got beat bad in an ugly offensive game, not even scoring 90 points in game number one just a few nights ago. And yet, because of the injury to Steph Curry, Minnesota is greater than a $2 favorite to win this series outright. In fact, the price on the T-Wolves is stronger now, despite being in an 0-1 hole, than it was for Minnesota entering game number one with home floor advantage.
And let's understand this. The positives aren't that many positives for the Golden State Warriors. You lose Steph Curry, you're probably the anticipation of you winning the series. Drops precipitously. But also understand this. This wasn't Steph Curry pulling up lame with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter where the Golden State Warriors had an 11-point lead. This was, oh my goodness, 13 minutes of the game. We don't have Steph anymore. How can we do this? Let's regroup for game number two because game number one is gone. They won that game by double digits without Steph Curry. I'm not saying this is a good sign, like, hey, this team can galvanize, because we do see, again, adrenaline-type games. The other team doesn't quite know how we're going to play. We're going to be energized, release this one. Let's see what happens. Now, granted, you do have a double-digit favorite here for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and rightfully so. But I just want to bring up that point was, you know, this wasn't a game plan thing where Steph sat out before the first tip. And we had a game plan going in, executed it immediately here. Steph was having a very good 13 minutes in that point, then gets injured, and they built the lead in the third quarter, which was impressive itself enough for that double-digit win. I'm not saying the Warriors can't win this series. But boy, oh boy, if you're just betting and saying, I'm going to take the Warriors here, you're just being contrarian. The best player down on a series where technically you're not the better team,
right,
good luck with that.
And again, you can feel some of that in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah.
When you give not just Steve Kerr, but on the other side, Chris Finch, some time to readjust, that's when losing not just your third best player, but one of the best players in the history of basketball is going to rear its ugly head. Shout out to Buddy Hield. Shout out to Jimmy Butler, who has that playoff.
Two and a half threes. Come on.
Draymond.
Come on, plus money. My goodness.
Might have to look at Draymond Green's three-point number. He attempted
knocked down 4
in game number one, making 4 triples. But as Donnie alluded to, a 10.5-point spread in favor of the T-Wolves tonight. It is matching the largest underdog number Golden State has seen all year long, dating back to early January, when I'm sure Steph Draymond were not playing, and they were catching double digits against the Indiana Pacers. It is really interesting, DRS. I will just say this. Still the most likely outcome for the team to win and in how many games the duration of this series?
Yeah.
Minnesota in seven at plus 290. So it's not just expecting, oh, Steph is out, the Timberwolves roll now in a gentleman's sweep. They'll respond immediately from the poorest offensive showing in game number one. The odds makers still thinking this has the chance to get to the distance.
And I don't, and again, it does make some sense in a way, but also we still haven't seen game number two here. If we get an effort and effect like we saw in the previous game last night where OKC is like, we'll drop you by 40. I'm not saying the Timberwolves are going to beat them by 40 tonight.
Yeah.
But if you have a 15-plus point win, this isn't going seven. If you see the Warriors fight, it's like, oh, maybe Steph can come back for game number seven and help us out. But right now, I don't think we're going seven.
And the Warriors have been great defensively throughout this early postseason run. In the opening round series against the Rockets in two consecutive games, game seven against Houston, game one just a few nights ago in the Twin Cities, holding their opponent to fewer than 90 points. How about some Stanley Cup playoff action?
They play?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some Stanley Cup playoff action for you. Also early in round number two on the ice. A doubleheader last night, DRS. Are the Maple Leafs actually going to do this? Are the Leafs going to knock off the reigning Stanley Cup champs? They now have a 2-0 series lead over the Florida Panthers after a 4-3 win last night up in the sixth. We'll see what happens as they go from Toronto down to Sunrise. The Dallas Stars, they win against the Winnipeg Jets 3-2, and I believe the opening game of that series against Connor Hellebuyck and Winnipeg. The Jets a little bit dicey, despite being that President's Trophy winner with the best regular season record throughout the NHL regular season. Dallas, a win by a goal last night. And Toronto, a 2-0 series lead against the Florida Panthers, DRS. Two victories away for the Leafs from returning to the conference finals for the first time in over two decades since 2002.
Hey, look, you need every single goal you can take at this point. And also understand this, the Maple Leafs came into game number two without their starting goalie. So right away, you figure that maybe the Florida Panthers would have the advantage with Bobrovsky and that, and it didn't work out in their favor once again here. You see that lead entering into the third period, able to make that hold up is very important at this point. Every win now feels like uncharted territory for the Maple Leafs, yeah. Not the players of the organization, but the fans themselves going, oh, 2-0 series lead now? Like, we were laughing in series number one, like, they're going to get a sweep, and then they had to extend it just a little bit, a couple overtime victories there for Ottawa, but now you find a Panthers team which is much better than Ottawa, where you're handling your business.
Yeah.
Now, scene changing here. That's going to be interesting when it goes down to South Florida, but we'll see. But the Maple Leafs, man, they're here to stay, it looks like.
Nine consecutive playoff appearances for Toronto. It's not like they have not had their opportunities in the Stanley Cup postseason runs. In the previous eight, only one opening round series win. They also took on the Florida Panthers in that second round a few years ago. They lost that in five games. They've got a 2-0 series lead in this one. The Canes beat the Caps in overtime in game number one. Carolina, a minus 420 series outright favorite to knock out Alexander Ovechkin and Washington, despite the Capitals having the best record in the Eastern Conference throughout the regular season. The Oilers trailing by a goal entering the third period in their opening game in Vegas. They scored three goals in that third and final period for a 4-2 win in game one. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Edmonton, they lead a game to zip as of this moment. The Oilers do not have the home ice advantage, at least the first two games of this series, DRS, on the strip in Las Vegas, and yet Edmonton greater than a $2 minus money favorite to win this series.
I mean, hey, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have violent swings there in the overall pricing just based on which games are actually won and actually where they are won and the times they're won. You see the Oilers come back storming the fort for unanswered goals. And I always tell them, like, I'm a Flyers fan. We don't get to enjoy nice things in the playoffs, particularly the past decade or so. You want to have a fun brand of hockey. That's what the Edmonton Oilers bring to the table. High-flying, unbelievably skilled, talented athletes here on the front end. I love every time Edmonton wins, but it's going to be hard. Like, Vegas has a Stanley Cup. They're going to be tough to knock off. Mark Stone seems to score two goals every single game. Love what the Oilers are doing here. It is a steep price, but again, Islands win things based on the next game and who wins it. That's how you find out.
I wonder what the odds for that series would look like tonight. It is the tightest gap that we have so far here in round number two, because Vegas will be in the nightcap of our doubleheader on this Thursday evening. The Golden Knights, a minus 142 home ice favorite against Edmonton. If Vegas wins that game, a closer disparity DRS, but the Oilers have already earned that split, kind of getting rid of the Knights' home ice advantage. I would expect Edmonton returning up to Canada to be a favorite to win this series outright, but could be a closer number. The Canes, by the way, a road ice favorite in D.C., for tonight's second game against the Caps at a minus 137 number. 6.5, by the way, that total for Edmonton and Vegas tonight. Lofty by Stanley Cup playoff standards. The Dallas Stars up 1-0 against the Winnipeg Jets, the Stanley Cup favorites at plus 310. Only 40 cents in front of Carolina at plus 350. Donnie, when you look all the way down at the bottom of this list, it's the two teams that had the two best records throughout the NHL regular season. Of course, the President's Trophy winners in the Winnipeg Jets. That curse looks like it will continue. The Caps 18-1, the longest price. They're a home ice underdog in game number two tonight against Carolina.
And by the way, take a look at Connor Hellebuyck for the Jets here. Maybe he is a little bit mortal here in the playoffs. But also understand this, Mikko Rantanen back-to-back games in the playoffs with hat tricks.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible. And also, when you say, hey, hat trick, got a 7-2 win. That was a 3-2 victory. All three goals scored by Rantanen. Back-to-back games here, six total goals. That's impressive, man. You want your superstars where you make changes during your season to help improve your team. They're exactly getting that.
The Stars were down in their opening round series against the Avs, and Colorado was a hefty favorite to win that series outright. Some of the injuries for Dallas, how banged up the Stars were. Now they're the Stanley Cup favorites after one game so far in round number two. How about that for some puck talk to end out the opening hour live in person in studio on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. An MLB recap from Wednesday around the bigs as we start hour number two here on TEL up next.